This is the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed, coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA, reaching the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, the Jews, with the good news of their Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord Jesus Christ. Speaking out against anti-Semitism while promoting love for Israel, God's ancient people, the apple of his eye. Believing in what the Holy Scriptures say in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, I will bless them that bless thee. Preaching from God's holy word, the King James Bible, the prophetic truths of the second coming of our Lord, blowing the trumpet in Zion and warning God's people and the nations about the judgment to come, exposing apostasy and the developing one-world Antichrist system. Stay tuned for this hour with the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast. We continue to listen now to the Tabernacle series, and if you've ever wanted to know about the Tabernacle, this series from the Word of God will enlighten you and show you the truths that God had in the Tabernacle. The Tabernacle, of course, for some of you who are just coming into this particular series, is when the children of Israel were wandering in the desert there after God had delivered them from Egypt. And then as they entered into the promised land, God gave them a tabernacle by which they worshiped the Lord. And so there's many truths to be learned and many prophetic teachings that we can apply, and also great pictures, illustrations in typology regarding the first and second coming of the Messiah. So listen and you'll receive a great blessing from God's holy word, the King James Bible.
Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Hey, Moses was a stumbling block to the people of Israel. They kept on saying to him, in Exodus chapter 10 and other places, how long shall this man be a snare unto us? Well, 1 Peter says, chapter 2, that Jesus was to be a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. And then the Bible tells us that the seas obey the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Same thing with Moses. Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind. Wow. What manner of man is this that even the winds and the seas obey him, referring to Jesus? I like it.
Amen, brother.
Amen. Jesus almost was stoned to death, and so was Moses. Then they almost ready to stone me, Moses complained. And then they up stones to cast at him, referring to Jesus. Both in their lifetime were doubted that they'd ever come back to fulfill the work, or he'd come back from being able to accomplish what they were supposed to accomplish. When the people saw that Moses, the way to come down from the mount, they went bananas. The people said, as for this Moses, we want not what has become of him. Well, that's what they're doing today about Jesus, amen? Jesus is God, and they'll try to tell you like Peter said, where is the promise of his coming? Isn't that the way people are today? Right. Mocking the word of God? Scorners don't believe Jesus is coming. If I knew Jesus was coming and I wasn't saved, I'd get saved.
Right.
That's right. Both of them took 12 men that stood with them. Both of them did. Both of them chose 70 men to go out. And both of them parted blessing to the people. Moses was meek. Guess what? Jesus was meek. Moses fasted 40 days. Guess what? Christ fasted 40 days. and both of them did miracles. Oh, man alive. Is there so much there? And so, if Moses, a type of Jesus Christ, before we even get into the tabernacle, amen? Moses is showing the way of the truth and the life by his own testimony and the things that God had him to do. All right. Now, folks, I'm going to get my big stick out here, right here. And somebody bought me the stick. I had a pointer that I purchased. But I busted it. I normally bust things when I'm preaching. I'm not a violent person, but I just kind of get excited, you know.
Amen.
But anyway, now, look at this tabernacle. Compared to the first and second temple, it's not much to it. I mean, come on. I mean, the first temple, it's mentioned half as much as tabernacle, but yet it was a lot more expensive than the tabernacle. I mean, you're talking about Solomon's temple. I mean, look at all the marble they used. Look at all the gold they used. I'm talking about a whole country had to bring the timber they used to build the temple. Just incredibly. I have a picture of it right here. I should have kept this out. I just want to show you what King Herod's temple looked like. They said it was the biggest building ever constructed known to mankind. Herod's temple. The Herod's temple is the second temple. Look at that thing. That thing is massive. It is so humongous. Can you see that? Can you get a glimpse of that? Come on now. You've never seen anything that big. It is humongous. Of course, back in those days, they came from all around the world to see Solomon's temple. They came from all around the world to see Herod's temple. When I say this, it's true. They didn't come from all around the world to see the tabernacle. The tabernacle's just not that, well, it's nice, but it's not as magnificent in beauty to the world.
Right.
That's just like Jesus, isn't it?
Yeah.
Jesus came as a humble servant. He came in the form of a servant. He didn't come as a, you know, he's not known to be a handsome man. The Bible doesn't say he was handsome, right? He wasn't so comely that people would desire him. He wasn't trying to be famous as a human being. I mean, this is God. This is God manifest in the flesh. And if we're going to be drawn to Jesus, it won't because of his beauty, but because of what he did for us.
Amen.
That's what's
Amen.
Going to draw us to him.
Amen.
Amen. We're not going to be drawn to Jesus so much for what he can help us with. How he healed those nine people. And later on he said, where's the nine? Where's those nine people that I helped? Amen? Well, all they wanted is to be fed. Their bellies to be fed. All they wanted is to be helped. Amen? But they didn't care about who Jesus was.
Right.
Why do we come to God? We come to God so God can help us out, get us out of our problems, solve our marriage problems. You put our families together. Is that really why we come to Jesus? I'm telling you that if that's why you're coming to Jesus, you're coming to Jesus for the wrong reason. I'm telling you, I didn't come to Jesus for that reason. I came to Jesus because he was throwing me with cords of love. He was throwing me that I was a wretched sinner. He was throwing me I deserved hell. He was throwing me I deserved the judgment of God. And all I wanted was the mercy of God. I was a condemned man. I'm a condemned man. I deserve hell. But God in his mercy provided a way. Out of the way.
Amen.
Out of that.
Amen.
And praise God for that. Why, I would have never been attracted to Jesus Christ by what he could offer or by his appearance. Never could. Never did, actually. Never did. And so, you have these 60 pillars out there. Tall enough not to see on the outside, but in the gate, tall enough for us to get in. Now, folks, here's the thing. Every pillar here had a chapeteer on top of it. That's a fancy King James way of saying cap. Amen? Chapeteer. But I like chapeteer. It has more character to it. Chapeteer. Amen? And it's a cap. And it's a silver cap. Got it? And the pillar is made out of wood. Now, according to Exodus, some people believe the pillar is wood only, but the Bible says it's made out of glass. So, I believe that it's glass over wood. Okay? Brass over wood, and it's in a socket of brass. It is staked down with the stakes of brass. And it has the cords that keep the pillars up. The hangings there are made out of white, fine linen. Amen. And so if you look at every pillar, and if you look at every pillar with the rods going through there and you cut it off, like let's say you cut it off right here, what you really have there is another picture of a cross. You got crosses all around this thing. Now here's the thing. Jesus Christ hung on a cruel wooden cross, and he died to redeem sinful man. You see that? The judgment of God was upon him at the cross. I'm talking about all the judgment of God upon every sinner that ever was born, ever will be born, was placed on the shoulders of Jesus Christ.
Right.
He, the Bible said, he tasted death for not only the elect, he tasted death for everybody!
Amen.
He tasted death for every man! He said, oh, that God only died for the elect. You don't know the Bible very much.
Amen.
The only reason why they're the elect is because the fact of the matter is, God knew according to his foreknowledge, amen, that they would receive the grace of God, and God elected them to have a reservation in heaven prepared for them from eternity ago.
Amen.
That's elect. But they forget about the other kind of election. I talk about the election of when Jesus said it is finished. It wasn't limited atonement. It was atonement for every soul. Whosoever will may come. He elected the grace of God. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. That's election too, by the way. I told you to one brother, he's a pastor, and he uses some of this lingo, and he means well, but he's just had some of this, you know, some of this Calvinistic lingo. Now, some of the old-time Calvinists, they're straight. They just wanted to preach more about grace. There's nothing wrong with that. But the fact of the matter is, they've gotten so much on grace that they are taught now, and I don't think you can ever preach enough on grace, so don't get me wrong, but what I'm trying to say is that there is the element that you have to make a choice. Right? God's not going to force you into heaven. If you don't want to go there, you're not going there. Most people don't want to go there. So when they start seeing the Lord's claims that are pointing to him, and they start seeing God reveals himself to them, and then after what they see, they come into the light. They don't want the light because their deeds are being reproved, you see. Well, then those people, obviously, you know, they're making a choice. They don't want more light. The people that come to the light, they're making a choice. I want more light. And then I want more light. Until before you know it, they get to hear about the gospel. That's what happened to me. That's what happened to me. A little four or five-year-old boy. When I was just about 3 years old, some of you know the story, he gave me a little light. He said, did you know Jesus was a Jew? I never heard of who Jesus was. And I was just trying to find out what being a Jew was about, amen? And the fact of the matter is, that was a little smidgen of light.
Right.
That little smidgen of light bothered me for 15 years, amen? Well, what if Jesus is a Jew? Who is the fellow anyway, amen? And then my uncle died, and another light came on. Another flashlight came on. This time, it was not just a little flashlight. It was a beacon of light. I discovered a King James Bible in my uncle's library. Amen. What in the world was that doing there? Somebody's giving him a King James Bible 6 years prior. Well, he read it. I don't know, but it was there for me. And then when I started reading it, I discovered it was a King James Bible cover to cover. And God sent me, of all people, he sent me a black man to give me the gospel. Because the white people didn't love me enough to give me the gospel. Now, can you believe that? I mean it. Oh, yeah, I know it. I see that in some of the churches down there in the way south. And then they have a hard time swallowing that. See, they believe blacks don't have souls. Yet God used a black man to point me to Jesus. You know something? I believe black people can get saved. I had a whole bunch of that got saved.
Amen.
Guess what? When you get saved, you get saved.
Amen.
It don't matter what color you are.
Right.
Amen. Amen. And the Bible says, whether you're Jew or Gentile, we're one. So, obviously, the lights went on. And every time that light went on, and it got brighter and brighter, I said, I want more and more and more. I chose the light. That don't make me special. That don't make me good. That don't make me worthy of salvation. Because the will to choose the will to make a choice is a grace that God gave you when you got born into this world. It's a grace that you even have a choice.
Amen.
We all, you see what I say? See how stupid that whole thing line of reasoning is?
Yeah.
We didn't just say, God gave us grace from the time we're born to make choices. Wouldn't it be terrible if you were born and you made no choices? My son and I, we were, we'd like to try to get as much information about stuff. But you know what? Have you ever studied bees? Study bees sometimes. They have no choice. They are programmed by God to do certain things. Most of these animals have no choice. They don't know how to reason in their head. They don't know how to make decisions. They are programmed to do certain things a certain way, and they'll never get out of that pattern. Isn't that amazing? But we have a grace from God. It's called a free will. Now, anyway, I don't know why I got into all that, but that's what I got into. All right, praise God for it. Now, here's the thing. The kids are here. The kids are here. All right. And I still got some time, man. They're early. They're early. Man, alive. I got until midnight. Isn't that when the Jew preaches? And according to you take the authority, when a Jew stops preaching until someone drops dead. New Testament authority now. Right, Pastor? Right. New Testament authority. I got it. It's in the Bible. All right, so you got that, right? Got that. And okay, so here we got Jesus, the 100% human, 100% God. He never ceased to be God. You know that song, "And Can It Be"? How many know that song, "And Can It Be"? Well, it's a nice song, but one of the verses says that he emptied himself all but love. That's heresy, folks. He did not empty himself all but love. He was always 100% God. Amen?
Amen.
He never lost an ounce of deity.
Amen. Right.
What he left was the glory up there.
Yeah. Right.
But he was always God.
Amen.
You see what I'm trying to say? He may have not always exercised his power because he was under the submission of the Father. Amen? And he did exactly what the Father told him to do.
Amen.
But he was God, 100% God. All right? And so here he is, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's hanging on a crude cross of Calvary. Silver, representing redemption. Wood, representing the fact that he knew no sin, did no sin. Amen? And the judgment, the brass, the judgment of God is upon him. But it's staked down with these cords. And that is staked down on the earth. Can you imagine that? The Lord Jesus Christ, bless him while we crucify him. I'm talking about we did it. You did it. Our sins were placed upon him. Amen?
Amen.
He died for us. Our sins. We killed them. Yet, he said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I'm telling you that the love of God is staked down to the earth. Amen.
Yes.
And God draws us with cords of love. That's what each pillar shakes down there, symbolizing the cords of love. Amen. Come on right in. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, notice here, we got the fine twine linen. Why? Now, in some of the tabernacle pictures that I've seen, they have the pillars on the inside. And I believe the pillars were on the outside. And I'll tell you why I believe it's on the outside. Because no sinner will ever come to Christ until they see him on the cross. Amen? I'm not talking about a crucifix now. I'm not talking about a picture of Jesus hanging on the cross. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you as a sinner seeing Jesus as your substitute. You see what I'm saying? He became your substitute. Every one of you children here, Jesus Christ became your personal substitute. He died, he shed his blood so that you don't have to die and shed your blood and spend eternity in a lake of fire. Amen.
Right.
What a blessing. What a blessing.
Amen.
Okay? And so, but the fine swine linen represents the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We know Jesus is not here anymore. But he did leave somebody down here, did he not?
Amen.
To represent him.
Yes.
The Bible says we are ministers. And some of you ladies ought to be happy. You mean I'm a minister? That doesn't mean you can preach now in the pulpit. But it doesn't mean you're a minister of the things of God. And you can go out there and be a witness. The Bible says we are priests unto God.
Amen.
You ladies are priests. The Bible says you're kings.
Amen.
And the Bible says you're ambassadors. You represent the Most High God. And so, how in the world is anyone going to see Jesus, by the way? How's the world going to see Jesus? I want to know. How are they going to see Him? How are they going to know that He came? Where He said, well, the Bible says how He came. Well, true. But how are people going to believe the Bible's true? I'll tell you how people are going to believe the Bible's true. They're going to believe the Bible's true when they see your life. When they see your life, you are confirming the Bible's true. But if you live like the world, then the world will see nothing different in you. Amen?
Amen?
But if they see Jesus in you, they'll say there's something different. And when they read the Bible, they'll see true Christians. Now, can I say something about a Christian? First of all, don't call yourself a Christian. Don't you ever call yourself a Christian. Because that terminology was never used by the individuals themselves. That terminology, Christian, was always used by the world.
Right.
Now, it's a good thing. It's a good word. You know what it means? You know what Christian means? It means Christ-like. So if that's what it means, there's no such thing as a Christian drunk. There's no such thing as a Christian fornicator. There's no such thing as a Christian drug addict. Amen? There's no such thing as a Christian adulterer. There's no such thing as a Christian worldly person. Because you are to be Christ-like. And so when people look at your life, they're going to see the righteousness of Christ, because the Bible says we are living epistles or letters known and read of all men. Amen? What do they see in your life? Do they see Christ-likeness? Do they see a person that walks in the steps of the Lord Jesus Christ? There's some here tonight who would be far away from being Christ-like because you're not saved. So you got to get saved before you can even begin to know what being Christ-like is all about. Now let me end with this. The world is looking for an answer. They're out here in the world. This is the world, by the way. This is all the world. Now I know up here you might be somewhat sheltered. If you're in a big city, depravity is far worse than it is up here. But I'm sure you've got depravity up here. I'm sure you do. But I don't think it's at the level as it is, let's say, in a big city. But nevertheless, the world's out here. And the thing is, they normally are trying to get saved by their own way. They really are. The Bible says there's thieves out there. They're trying to climb in here from the southern gate. Now, I can't really preach on that because we're in the south. And it appears to me that a lot of churches think that they got a ticket to heaven because they're in the Bible Belt. We're Southerners after all, amen?
Brother.
We did win the Civil War, didn't we?
Amen.
Well, that's what you would think. When I came down the South, I thought everybody in the South believed they won the Civil War. They just politely, gave it over to the Yankees to make them feel good, amen? Now, I've read some of that history, and it's only a miracle that the Yankees didn't get wiped out, amen? I'm telling you right. I believe that the only thing to keep this country together, God lets the Yankees win. That's my own thing. I'm a Yankee. I was born a Yankee. I'm not a Yankee anymore. Amen. I got right with God. I'm a Southerner now. you know, because the Bible says the 10 tribes of Israel that went up to the north, they all went apostate. But Judah was in a remnant. Maybe he stayed down the south. So I'm part of that. Amen. And so the fact is, you're trying to come into heaven by being a Southerner. You're in a Bible church. You think you're going to get saved and get into the tabernacle because you grew up in a Baptist church and everything is Baptist and everything is Christian. And so you think that by osmosis you're going to be able to get in there. So you're going in there like a thief, climbing over the southern part of this area here, the fence. And you're not going to get in. The Yankees the same way. They're over here in the north. They say, I'm a Yankee. And I'm very educated. And we have all the education up here in the north. And so I can figure out a way I won't climb over this fence. I'm really educated fella, see. That doesn't mean the Southerners are not educated. Don't try to get on like that. Come on. I'm just trying to say that Yankees always believed they were smarter than the Southerners. But you know what's so amazing? They didn't know how to ride horses, but that the Southerners did. Okay. But anyway, the thing is, they are just smart. But they're not going to be able to get in that way either. And here's what's an amazing thing. Have you ever heard of this? They have sent the Hubble spacecraft up there. The Hubble spacecraft. And they said, we're going to find where God is. That's what I've read. We're going to find out where God is. And so they sent the Hubble, Space Telescope thing up there. And it's shining way up there. It spent about $2 million on it, something like that. And guess what they did with that thing? They took that telescope and they pointed it to the south. And they found the end of the south. They pointed it to the west. They found the end of the west. You with me now? They pointed it to the east. And they found the end of the east. But when they pointed it to the north, they came into a shocker. They could not find the end to the north. And the deeper they went into the north, the denser it got, and the light that was going in there, it kind of got sucked. The light gets sucked into the north. It's so dark. It's so dense. And they're discovering one thing. That the farther they go to the north, the farther the north really is. Now, that's amazing. So as part of their time, they're never going to find God going to the north. Because the north is infinite. It doesn't have any stopping point. Amen? So you're not going to find God that way. See, man's trying to find God his own way.
Amen.
The Tower of Babel is the same idea. We're going to build a big building. We're going to get up to heaven. We're going to find out where God is. I'm telling you, folks, you're not going to find God that way. God said the only way you're going to get into heaven, the only way you're going to get into the tabernacle is you've got to come through the east. Now, why the east? They said they found the end of the east. Why did God say the east instead of the north? I'll tell you why. Because Balaam had a prophecy. And he talked about this star one day is going to appear. That star did appear 2,000 years ago. Matthew chapter 2, verse 2 talks about the star came out of the east. Amen? The wise men were looking where the Messiah was born. Amen? They looked at that star, and that star pointed exactly where the birth was. And so they took their journey over there, didn't they? And so what God's saying, you New Ages, you are scientists, you astronomers, you astrologers, to believe in all this stuff, you're not going to find God by going to the north. You're not going to find him in the south. You're not going to find him in the west. The only way you're going to find God is you've got to come through Jesus. Because all these religions have created their own method of trying to find who God is. And God is saying, you've got to come through the east because that's where Jesus was born. And the Son, the Bible says, that the Son of Righteousness is going to appear. And you know that the sun rises from the east and settles at the west. Amen? And the Bible says what we need to see is when that sun, that S-U-N, rises from the east, we have to understand that we're never going to get in unless we see the S-O-N come. Because he's coming from the east. The eastern gate. Well, what a blessing. This brother said he had taken several pictures of the Eastern Gate in Jerusalem. And when they did the old city Jerusalem, they did it with the idea of the Eastern Gate. This is the only gate that's been shut for hundreds of years. And the Muslims, they put a cemetery in there. They said, we know what the rabbis say, that Messiah is going to come and he's going to face the Eastern Gate. And the Bible says that he's going to land on the Mount of Olives, and the Bible says it's going to cleave, right, from the east to the west, right, and then it's going to, from the north to the south. And so they said, well, we're trying to finish erecting our big temple here. And I called, you see this thing sticking out over here? I don't know if you can see it, but right here, this big thing. You, dear pastor, saw that. See, I call it the biggest temple in the world. It's the Dome of the Rock. And it's they have a mosque. And it's built right on the very altar there. of King Herod's temple. They believe that's where Abraham took Isaac up there to sacrifice Isaac, which we know Isaac is a type of Jesus Christ. And so they put a cemetery there. And they really believe that that's going to stop the Lord Jesus Christ going through that gate. You think that's going to stop them? They said Jesus Christ is priest. And as priest, he can't touch the dead. He can't go next to a cemetery. I don't think it's going to stop him. You know what I think is going to happen? When he lands there, just like the Bible says, it's first going to split from the east to the west. And it's going to split right down the middle, man. Woo! And it's going to bust that thing wide open. That's what I believe is going to happen. And yeah, that's not going to be a problem for him. All he's going to have to do is blow on that cemetery and adios. He's out of here. That's not going to be a problem for him, the one who created the heavens and the earth. Amen? The one that can turn you into a grasshopper. You believe you can be turned into a grasshopper? Sure, he can turn you into a grasshopper right now if he wanted to. That's who God is, the power of God. This gate right here is 30 feet wide, 7.5 feet tall. It's made out of four colors intertwined together. These four colors represent the four gospels of the Word of God. For example, we know that purple speaks of royalty. Am I right? Royalty. The book of Matthew is a picture of Jesus, the King of the Jews. Don't tell me it's there by accident. Don't tell me they just kind of made that up. I mean, come on. Come on. You can't. That's impossible. God had to be doing this. Heaven. And then we have here, the blood. The blood. That represents, you know, Jesus Christ, the servant, the one who would give his life a ransom for many. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And then, we got the wife. The wife, that's his perfect humanity. That what gospel is that? That's Luke, the Son of Man. We got blue. That's out of heaven. Blue. Come on, you look up to heaven. That's John, the Gospel of John, the Son of God. The four gospels right here. And as we get into that gate, that eastern gate, we must go through Jesus if we're going to even be able to get inside here and know anything about salvation. Amen? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said, I am the door. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Amen. Jesus said, I am from above. Jesus said, I am the Alpha and Omega. Amen. Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am.
Amen.
When Moses was up there on Mount Sinai, and Moses said, by what name should I deliver Israel out and bring them salvation of the Lord? Our God Almighty said, you tell those Israelites, I am has sent you.
Amen.
I am that I am.
Yeah.
That's right.
Amen.
Jesus, God, amen, manifests in the flesh. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Justified in the Spirit. Seen of angels. Preached unto the Gentiles. Believed on in the world. Received up in the glory. That's Jesus. That's coming through the east. That's knowing that Jesus is God. Not Allah. Not Buddha. Not Confucius. Not Mary. None of that. But Jesus.
Amen.
How about it? Are you looking for him? From the north? Coming from the north? You looking at him coming from the west? Or are you looking for him from the east? The Bible says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Hey.
I'm looking for him because I'm saved. And I know he came the first time, and I'm looking for him to come a second time. All right, let's bow our heads for a moment. You have a plan to do now.
Keep his covenant and show his mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all of
we don't want you to go away. We're going to continue the Tabernacle series in just a moment. And we appreciate you listening so far this hour. The Tabernacle is a fascinating subject in the Bible. Many lessons can be learned from the Tabernacle. And we trust that it's been a help and a blessing to you. Now, if you cannot continue with us for the remainder of this hour, we trust that you will think about helping the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast. You may write us a letter. We'd like to hear from you that this broadcast has been a help to you spiritually and encourage you in the things of the Lord. You can write to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127. Once again, that's Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. Again, the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast is on this air, waves throughout the world, preaching the good news of the Messiah for both the Jewish people and the Gentiles, none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. So please continue now as we finish up this remaining minutes of the program for today on this particular series called The Tabernacle.
The King James Bible, for some of you that don't know, but I think most everybody knows here. I'd like to turn to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. All right, Hebrews chapter 9. I read some of these verses already yesterday. I'll continue to read. I'll begin reading there at verse 11. All right, Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 11. The Bible says, "But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered at once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats, and the ashes of the heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God." Verse 15, "And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance." Heavenly Father, again, we're so thankful for thy marvelous grace. We're so thankful for the mercies of the Lord. Especially, we're thankful for the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, dear God, thou dost know we do not deserve to be here tonight. Oh, no, we deserve to be in the hottest hell. But thanks be to God, you've given us another day to breathe this air. You've given us another day that if we're lost, we can be saved. You've given us another day that if we're saved, we can glorify thy name today and praise you, Lord, and open our hearts to see what saith the Lord from the Holy Scriptures. And dear God, what a blessing. What a blessing to be saved. What a blessing to have redemption. What a blessing to know that if we die today, heaven will be our home, and we'll be with the Lord Jesus Christ for all eternity. We'll never have to be worried about the flames of hell, gnashing of teeth, outer darkness, oh, loneliness, and hunger, and thirst, and weeping, and, oh God, anguish of soul. We'll never have to be concerned with those things because we're saved and we'll be with the Lord and we'll enjoy the very presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we'll be able to sing praises to his name without ceasing. We'll be able to adore him and glorify him. We'll be able to go wherever we need to go and we'll not be hindered. Dear Lord, we'll be with him one day without sin in our bodies. What a blessing that'll be. Never to think about sin, never to do sin, and never be caught by the guile of sin.
we'll be free from sin, and we'll be able to live for Thee and do everything pleasing in Thy sight. Every thought and every imagination and everything we do and think in heaven will be to Thy glory and in Thy honor. Now, dear God, we pray that You'll bless us for this time. We ask, O God, You'll help us to take something home that will help us to live for Thee. In Christ's holy name and for His sake, amen. All right, please be seated. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for His goodness. Now, folks, the whole theme of this tabernacle is not how beautiful it is. It's not even all the details of it as much as the major supreme message of the tabernacle is how in the world are we, you and I, going to get into the Holy of Holies. That's what I want to know. I want to know how to get in there. Amen? I'm not satisfied being outside of camp. Oh, no. That's Vanity Fair out there. And I don't like Vanity Fair. Vanity Fair doesn't give us the peace of God. Vanity Fair does not teach us the things of God. Vanity Fair, all that does is fulfill the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And the Bible says all three of those are not of the Father, but it is of the world. That's what's outside there, outside the tabernacle. And I want to be able to get close to the glory of God. I want to be able to see Him in all His brilliancy and all His brightness. I want to be able to know, I want to be able to hear the amen coming out of His heart. And I want to be able to bask, so to speak, in His love. And I want to be able to not come short in any of the blessings of God. The Bible says that He does daily. He loads us up with benefits. And I don't want to come short with any benefit. Amen? And so that's the goal of this tabernacle. The goal is, how can we get into the glory of God? And so as we study this and preach from God's Word, we'll get a better understanding. I think some of you will be surprised that you might have thought that you've been in the holy place, when really all you've been is in the inner court. And I believe that once you see what we're missing, it'll encourage you to live for Christ like you never lived for Him before. Now, I'm going to begin reading here some, and I'm going to expound a little bit, and then I'm going to get into what happens once we get into the Eastern Gate. Now, we've already covered basically the hangings and the curtains and outside, the pillars. Now, how many people have not been here yesterday? How many people were not able to be here last night? Just raise your hand so I know. Okay, so that means I need to kind of review a little bit so that you're not totally, you know, out of sync here. And, well, first of all, this fine twine linen cloth is wrapped all around, and it's around that fence, so to speak. It's a fence. It has 60 pillars. Every pillar is 5 cubits high. That's 7.5 feet tall. Now, nobody here is 7.5 feet tall, right? I don't think so. My dear brother was telling me about his, your brother, right there. He's almost 7 feet, almost 7 feet tall. And, but still, he's not tall enough. He can get in there. Now, is anybody 30 feet wide? Is anybody 31 feet wide here? All right. Well, you won't have any problem getting in then. It's wide enough and tall enough for everybody, really. The pillars were made out of basically three materials. Number one material was the silver, which was used as a cap. It capped the top of every pillar. And then the pillar itself was made out of wood, but the Bible says it was brass. So I assume that it was brass overlaid on wood, is what I assume. And then it was in sockets of silver, brass, excuse me. All right? And then it was staked down with these cords, and the stakes themselves were brass. All right? And that's a picture. Silver is a picture of redemption. Wood is a picture of the humanity of Jesus Christ. That wood was made out of shittim, or acacia wood, the same kind of wood that was used in Noah's Ark. It's incorruptible wood. It floats, and that speaks of Jesus' incorruptible body. Amen? His body saw no corruption in the grave. And praise God for that. Brass speaks of judgment. So what you have here is you have a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ hanging on a tree, on a piece of wood, right?
And he's crowned with silver. That's redemption. He's crowned with redemption. And he's taking on the cruel cross of Calvary and the judgment of God. I mean, the judgment for every sin that you've ever committed and every sin that you ever will commit and every sin that anybody ever will commit that's not even born. All those sins. I'm talking about past sins, present sins, future sins. All the sin of the world was placed on him. Isn't that amazing? I'll tell you about that. That's really interesting. Because there are people out there who think they can lose their salvation. But that one fact that I've just told you proves that you cannot lose your salvation once you get saved. Why? Because Jesus died for your former sins, your present sins, and the sins you haven't even committed yet that you're going to commit. He died for all of them. There's not one sin that's going to send you to hell when you're really saved. Isn't that a blessing? So, then we talked about the Eastern Gate. You can't get in from the north. A lot of people trying to get into heaven, trying to get into the way of God through the north. They're sending out those big satellites and telescopes up there in the heavens. The New Age movement and all that New Age philosophy, trying to find God. Trying to find God by the stars. Trying to find God by the occult, by the spirit world. You're not going to find God that way. And then I mentioned the fact that even though we're in the south, and here's the south over here, but there's no gate to the south. Just because you're born in a Baptist church, and just because you're born in the Bible Belt, don't mean you got a ticket to heaven, amen? Hey, I was born a Jew, and everybody thinks Jews got a ticket to heaven. That's what Billy Graham says. He says, I don't need to tell the Jews about the gospel. They're God's chosen people. They're going to go to heaven. Now, that's a lie, folks. I don't care who says it. You got to get to heaven the same way everybody gets to heaven. If you were born in a Baptist home, you need to get born again. There's a lot of Baptists rotting, they're burning in hell right now. There's Baptists, independent Baptists in hell right now. They were lost Baptists. They were good members, but they were lost members. They never understood what it meant to be lost. And so, you're not going, just because you're in the South, don't mean you won't get in. The only way to get in, folks, is through the East. That's right, the East, the Eastern Gate. That's Jesus Christ, pointing to Jesus Christ. There's no other name under heaven that God ever gave the human race to be saved through, but by His name. That precious name, Jesus. What does Jesus mean? It means God who saves. Amen. In fact, you can say Jesus in past tense in a way, because God has saved you. He has saved you. And praise the Lord for that. All right. And I mentioned the four colors. That represents the four gospels. Blue represents the gospel of God coming out of heaven. God coming out of heaven. White represents the fact that the gospel of Luke, that's the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He's the Son of Man, but He never sinned, never could sin, never wanted to sin, incapable of sinning. Amen. He's sinless. And so, righteousness. Isn't that a blessing? Nobody could have made that up. That's God did that. And then you got the blood. Now, I'm kind of going backwards in the Gospels, but that's all right. Blood speaks of the Gospel of Mark and Christ the servant, willing to give His life for ransom for many. Amen? He came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. That's the blood. And then what's left? The purple. And that talks about He's the King of the Jews. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. Amen. He is God Himself. He never lost one ounce of God when He got out of heaven, born through a Virgin Mary. Amen. He was always 100% God, and He still is 100% God. He's 100% God. He's 100% human at the same time. Don't try to explain it. Just believe it and go on. Amen. That's just God. That's God. He does that. He has the ability to do that. You know, we were made in the image of God. God is 3 in 1. We're 3 in 1. The big difference between you and I is I don't have the power to say, all right, Spirit of Dan Freed, I want you to go to New York to witness to your cousins over there. Tell them about Jesus. I wish I had that power. Amen. I wish I could tell my body, brother, I want you to go to Israel. And I want you to get out some gospel tracts. So that my body could do that, hand out those gospel tracts. But I can't do that. My body has to go with my spirit and soul. We got to go together, folks. Amen. But God is God. And God has the ability to divide Himself into three. And He does that. But what's so amazing, even though He divides Himself into three parts, and when we're three parts, but He can actually send His Spirit wherever it wants to go. Holy Ghost can go anywhere it wants to go. But the amazing thing is that God can be up there and down here at the same time.
God can be in you if you're saved. How many people can raise a hand tonight and say, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I know, I am so confidently sure that I am born again and I know I'm saved. Why don't you raise your hand? All right? Isn't that amazing? You know that you got all of the Holy Ghost, every one of you, at the same time. Now, how is that possible? How can you have all of the Holy Ghost? If I have all of the Holy Ghost, there's not enough to give you some of the Holy Ghost. But God is God.
There is no God like Thee in the earth, O Lord God of Israel.
If after hearing this broadcast, God Almighty has convicted your hearts of sin, then repent, that is, be willing to confess and forsake your sinfulness and wicked way, while acknowledging your transgressions against the Holy God, with sorrow and a broken heart for being an unworthy sinner, deserving eternal judgment in hell fire. Receive Christ, the Messiah's forgiveness, which was bought for you by His own blood, and call upon Him to be your only Lord, God, and Savior. If you've asked by faith, believing, then God has given you eternal life according to His Word. And now you should know for sure that your sins are forgiven and that you are gloriously saved and born again. Please write us and let us know of the good news about your salvation. Let us know if you are Jewish or from some other ethnic group. You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. The Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast is supported by free will offerings. If you would like to help keep this program on the air, please send your free will donation to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. The Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast is responsible for sending out thousands of Bibles and biblical literature free of charge throughout the world. If you are a Jewish person and would like to receive a free Hebrew English New Covenant, also known as the New Testament, please request a copy. Other languages may also be available. We will also send you a free copy of our very popular booklet, Prophecy Unveiled. Again, if you are Jewish, please be encouraged to ask for this terrific booklet. This booklet is about Jewish prophecy. It has intrigued readers for thousands of years and is now at your fingertips. What do rabbis of old, historians, and religious commentators have to say about the subject? See for yourself and answer the age-old question, is prophecy unveiled? If you're not Jewish and desire to receive a Bible in English, please write to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. That's Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, or P-O-W-D-E-R-S-P-R-I-N-G-S, Georgia, or G-A, 30127, USA. You are invited to visit our website at hopeofisrael.net. Again, our website address is hopeofisrael.net or H-O-P-E-O-F-I-S-R-A-E-L .net. please email or write us letting us know you're listening to our broadcast. This will be a great encouragement to us and will help us to know where the broadcast is being received around the world. Donations and King James Bibles are being accepted, enabling us to distribute Bibles and gospel literature worldwide. Please send only King James Bibles in good condition. This is Dr. K. Daniel Freed, wishing you God's richest blessings upon your life. My earnest prayer is that you will be drawn closer to the Savior. Please remember to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Until our next broadcast, tune in again on this day at this same time for the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast.